partly because of VBS and partly because we just had a baby dedication in last service, I wanted to focus on Survivor. You ever see the TV show Survivor? That's kind of where we're going today. Let me start with an old story from Max Lucado here. He says, Chippy, the parakeet, never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage, and then the phone rang. And as she turned to pick up the phone, she barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped and put down the phone and turned off the vacuum and opened the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced him to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. And then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. And I read that and thinking, maybe as a parent, some people here feel a little washed up and blown over and sucked in and just like, oh my gosh. And have you watched Survivor? It's just celebrated its 40th season. 20 years, they do a season in the spring and they do a season in the fall. I'm thinking most everybody's familiar with the show. They had a Puerto Rico edition, African edition, an Amazon edition, an All-Star edition. Well, today we're going to do the parent edition, okay? Which they've never done. But you know, you play Survivor. You outwit, you outplay, you outlast. That's what we want to talk about. It says in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials, like the trial of parenting. Do you consider that a pure joy? Yes, bring it on. George Collins, he writes, he says this here about the family. He says, despite all the change and turmoil that disrupts family life, God is still aware of what is going on, and he's still in control. I think that's an important thing to remember right there, promise to claim. He says, the majority of families are not seriously dysfunctional. Most kids do not become adult children of dysfunctional family backgrounds, and most of us are not in need of recovery. He says, no family is perfect and without problems and periodic crises. I mean, it just comes with life, right? All parents make mistakes, but most of their kids survive very well, even without therapy and 12-step programs. He says, it's possible, but admittedly more difficult to have good marriages, healthy families, and stable kids, even when we live in bad environments or chaotic, immoral, God-rejecting society. Says we can raise kids successfully even if we don't have all the answers. Even good parents sometimes have rebellious kids. Even bad parents sometimes have healthy, well-adjusted kids. When things are not going well in your family, that does not mean that all is hopeless. Often, this is what George Collins says, often this too will pass. And lastly, he says, God cares about each of our families. Do you know that? Do you know that God cares about your family? God wants to be involved with your family. The family was designed by God. It was designed to be a place of safety. It's an environment where the art of nurturing takes place. It's a location where children are born and raised. It's where love takes place on a daily basis. It's where encouragement is dished out in large doses. It's where discipline is found and respect is taught. So to get into this little game that I want to play today, this game of Survivor, first of all, I wanted to mention the various stages of the game. Stage one is the I do stage, the leave and cleave stage. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So when a husband and a wife, when they find each other, they get married, they take their vows before God, that's the beginning of the game, all right? And then that takes us to stage two. Stage two is the first child. And all of a sudden, you're introduced to responsibility and stress like you've never known ever before. Dirty diapers, little sleep, babysitters. Participants experience new levels of stress. It's at this stage of the game that many players begin going to church to seek God's counsel and also to find free babysitting. That explains why we had 78 kids during VBS right there. Stage three is the toddler preschool stage. When your kids become toddlers and there's t-ball, there's sleepovers, the family starts to spend a little bit more time apart from one another. And then that takes us to stage four, adolescence, teenagers, the thing that nobody was ready for, okay? Hectic, hormones, peer pressure, and that's just the parents, okay? It's expensive, food, clothes, insurance, cell phones, cars. Children begin to seek individuality, and they begin rebelling if their parents stifle their individuality. Stage five is the empty nest syndrome, where mom and dad are reintroduced to each other. They look at each other and say, I remember you, yeah. And then that takes us to the last stage, stage six, grandparents, when everybody moves back in. Okay, that's how the game is played right there. And what is the goal? The goal is what? Survival, right? We're just doing the best we can. No, that can't be the goal. I worry too often it becomes the goal when the kids are young and there's you're working two or three jobs to try to make ends meet, and you just get focused on this, and you never get out of this trap of survival. But that is not the goal. The goal, according to the Bible, is godly children. And I want to take you through a couple of verses here that I think really lays this out really well. Malachi 2:15, has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? Talking about man and woman, he made them one. Why? In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why? Because he is seeking godly offspring. This is the purpose of marriage. This is the purpose of the family. This is what God ordained. This is what he designed, because he wants godly offspring. A verse I mentioned a few weeks ago in Genesis 18, we talked about Abraham. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. This is why Abraham was chosen, a big reason why he was chosen, so that he can direct his children to keep the way of the Lord, to do what is right and just. This is why God chose Abraham. This is what God wants from us, that we would direct our children to do what is right in God's eyes, to walk with God, to live for God. And get this, Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you. Why does God give us all these regulations? Why does he give us all these rules? He says, be careful to obey these regulations I'm giving you so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Do you want the blessings of God? Do you want your children to have the blessings of God? I hope your answer is yes. Well, how do you do that? You live your life for God. You listen to God. You listen to his instructions. It says in Proverbs 22, train a child in the way he should go. Well, what is that way? That's what the Bible lays out, the way that we should go. The Bible lays it out, and a lot of people are ignoring it. Ephesians 6, verse 4, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Bring your children up in the instruction of the Lord. How important is that to us? And it's got to be important. This is the will of God. This is the goal. Now, okay, so to get more into this game, we're going to have three teams, all right? Three teams. First team would be the children, all right? And to understand the children here, children, they come into this world with no morals, no convictions, no comprehension, and no understanding. And if they're left to their own, it kind of leads to judges. The judge says everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And how did that end? With oppression and bondage. Is that so we just let children do whatever they want? No, we know where that leads. No. So team two would be the parents. And we are to train our children in the way they should go, right? And then team three would be God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is holy, who is the author of life, the creator of our souls, the one who says, keep my regulations so that it may always go well with you and your children. He wants you to win. He wants your children to win. It's not like other survivor games, you know? God is cheering for you. God is cheering for your children. But there's three teams. Okay, go back to the children here. The children, the toddler's property laws, this is really old, but this is so great. Toddler's property laws. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it is mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. If it's broken, it's yours. Okay, this is our children. This is where they begin. And we've got to understand, this is where they begin. Now, the problem here is parents. Some parents lean more like their children than like God. The Bible says, be imitators of God. As parents, if we want what's right for our children, we need to live for God. We need to be good examples for our children. We need to model God. And we're not God. We're not going to be perfect. We're not holy. We're doing the best we can. But my fear is a lot of parents aren't even trying. A lot of parents don't have any convictions, any morals, any understanding. They're just doing what's right in their eyes, and they're living in a life of bondage and oppression. If we seriously want what's best for our children, then we need to seriously consider being imitators of God. That's what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Follow his example. And I want to lead you through a little Bible study in Ephesians chapter 5. A lot of great stuff. A lot of great stuff in this chapter. Now, I'm thinking every parent should take these words to heart. And I could take you other places. I could take you to Deuteronomy 6. I could take you to Proverbs. There's over 80 instructions to parents for their children in Proverbs. There's so many places you can go in the Word of God. But today we're going to go in Ephesians. Ephesians 5. In the first verse, I've already read it. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. What does that look like to you? Is it on your radar to live a life that God would want you to live like God? What does God look like? How can I model God to my children? Verse 2 says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So live a life of love, just like Jesus. You want to know how to love people? You look at Jesus, how sacrificially he loved people. Even when they hated him, he continued to love them. And there's going to be days when your children might hate you. What are you going to do with that? You got to continue to love them. You got to be the example. And sometimes they make it very difficult. Sometimes I think they're just pushing you just to see if you will continue to love them. And this is what the Bible says. Live a life of love, just like Jesus. He gave himself up for us. And then the next couple of verses, I think, are verses that have seem like they've been lost in our world. And I fear they've been lost in among Christians. Verse 3 it says no sexual immorality, no or impurity or greed. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now pay attention to that. These are improper for God's holy people. And I hope that all of us here, I know some people might not be consider yourself a Christian at this point, but I would think a lot of people who walk through these doors on Sunday mornings, we have given our life to Jesus Christ. We call ourselves Christians. We want to have a relationship with God. And what does that mean? What does that look like? That means we are trying to be intentional about being God's holy people. And this is not proper for God's holy people. Obscenity, sexual immorality, impurity, greed. Yeah, verse 4, it says, there should not be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. And once again, out of place for God's people. If you're trying to imitate God, God doesn't act like this. Why would we act like this? And yet Christians are getting pulled down by a culture where instead of raising the culture, we're getting pulled into the culture. And we're not being good examples for our children. This needs to change. This really needs to change. And in verse 4 ends with, be thankful. Now, there should not be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place for God's people, but rather thanksgiving. Are you thankful for your life? Are you thankful for the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ? Are you thankful for your children? Are you thankful for all the ways that God blesses you? God's people should amplify lives of thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be thankful. And let me throw verse 5 in here. I'm going to get back to this later, but I just want to read it right now. Verse 5 says, For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. If you live a life like this, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to inherit the blessings of God. That's a dangerous place to be. That's why this is so important. Then we go on. We go on verse 8. It says, live as children of the light. What does it say? For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. What does that mean? Be purposeful. Especially parents, you got to be purposeful to be a light to your children who don't know any better. They're looking to you. To be a light. It says the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what the parents bring to the game. He says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And then verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. Be very careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. You know, you only have your children for so long. You have limited opportunities of how you're going to make a difference in their lives. So what are you doing with those opportunities? Got to make the most of those opportunities. Verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. To play this game, to win this game, and you've got to win this game, you've got to understand what the Lord's will is. How are you going to do that? And I would tell you, you need to do that, but you need to be in the Word of God. You need to be at church where you're receiving regular instructions in worship and hopefully in Sunday schools and other Bible studies. Receive regular instructions so I know how to be a light, so I know what the will of God is, so I know what to do for my children. And none of us get it right. None of us are perfect. But this is a good place to start. And to pray, to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that in just a minute here. The next verse, Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now I want to be intentional about this one. And I want to be careful about this one. Because the Christian church, we have a model where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we're silent. Which means we don't bring in our traditions. You know, I'm not here to push my traditions on you or my opinions on you. I'm here to try to communicate the Word of God to you. And the whole thing about alcohol becomes very... I didn't grow up in a Christian church. I grew up in a church where if you drink alcohol, you're going to go to hell. And then I joined the Navy for 6 years, and I used to tell people that. And that didn't go well. And as a preacher, I want to tell people, please don't drink alcohol. I don't feel like I have the liberty to say you can't drink alcohol. But please understand the effects of alcohol. I've got some statistics here. What happens, how alcohol is so destructive. In 4 out of 5 suicide attempts, alcohol was involved. Alcohol is involved in 38% of deaths caused by drowning. Alcohol is involved in 38% of fatalities on the road. Alcoholism has led to people doing more evil things than anything else, like sexual rape, incest, child abuse, domestic abuse. I mean, dysfunctional families. Why are they dysfunctional? A lot of it goes back to alcohol. One poll says alcohol is involved in 75% of date rapes cases on college campuses. In 2/3 of the cases where there was violent behavior against family members, alcohol was involved. In violent crimes such as homicide, alcohol was involved over 67% of the time. Families have been destroyed because of alcoholism. I've been in ministry for 30 years. I have seen this way too many times. And it breaks my heart. And if I could say, just don't do it, I would. I don't have the liberty to say, don't drink. But the Bible clearly says, don't get drunk. I would ask you, don't go near it. I've never had a problem with alcohol because I can't stand the taste. And somebody would tell me, well, you need to acquire the taste. I'm like, why would you do that? That's about the stupidest thing in the world. So I'm blessed. I don't like the taste. I pray for you that you won't like the taste. I would beg that we just stay away from the stuff. Don't get drunk. In that same verse, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why can't we focus on that? To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants to justify drinking alcohol. Nobody wants to even talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. Number 10 was in chapter 6, verse 4. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, this is what it says. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instructions of the Lord. The fathers, understand that. That's a clear command to you. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. How are you going to do that? You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to be studying the Word of God. You've got to learn the Word of God so that you can communicate the Word of God to your children if you want your children to be blessed. And it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. I have this little visual aid here for you. Don't exasperate them. I think of a musical instrument. And when you take a guitar and you start tuning the strings, well, to exasperate your children would be to over-tune those strings. And what's going to happen? They're going to break. They're going to pop. And then it becomes useless. Don't exasperate your children. Don't over-tighten the strings. But now at the same time, if you don't put any tension on the strings, what is that? That's not an instrument anymore. That's just a piece of junk. It's useless. If the strings are not tuned up, so parents, we have to figure this out. We have to be able to put the proper amount of tension on those strings so that our children are beautiful and useful and they love themselves because they can make beautiful music. So don't over-tighten, but you got to put the right amount of tension on there, okay? Bring them up in the instructions of the Lord. There's a back page here is the strategies to the game. If you've watched Survivor, you know the three words they talk about: outwit, outplay, outlast. Well, what's that look like for us? First of all, we outwit. You got to outwit your children, right? How do you outwit your children? By making an alliance with God. That's what you got to do. You got to seek His wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Once again, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Another translation says, follow His example. Follow God's example. That's how you're going to win. You outwit your children by making an alliance with God. And secondly, you outplay. Outplay. This takes me back to Ephesians 5, verse 2. Live a life of love. Just continue to love them. Continue to love. When they push you, when they challenge you, when they get difficult, ooh, I could tell you stories. Okay, continue to love them. The message says it like this: watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something. From us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. That's what it says in the message. Love like that. Extravagant love. Sacrificial love. Just like Jesus. That's how we outplay. Then we come to outlast. How you do that? What are we going to do with that? And what I wrote down here, help out your kids so they will last forever. Okay? See what I did there? Help out your kids so they will last forever. Ephesians 5, I read this earlier, says, for this you can be sure of, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do you want your children to be blessed by God? Do you want your children to go to heaven? Then you got to help them get there. You got to teach them the ways of Jesus. Introduce them to the ways of Jesus. Don't be so short-sighted. Don't think that your job is just to get your kids to adulthood through adolescence and through school. Your job is to get them to God. Your job is to get them someday to be with God forever, for eternity. Someone once said this, I love this, to beget a child is to beget an immortal soul. The parents' larger role is to fit their children for heaven. Do you understand that, parents? When you brought your child in the world, that's an immortal soul. That's a heavy responsibility. It's a heavy responsibility. And now, do you understand your instructions? Do you understand your job? Imitate God so your children will imitate you. And enjoy the game, but play to win.